This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. For as long as I've been giving public messages or talks, I've used the following words because it's a spiritual principle that's so powerful it can change an individual's life forever. It can change the life of a nation, a people, or whatever. So here's the thing. There is a basic law in God's word, and you can't miss it for crying out loud. It's from Genesis to Revelation. And the basic law of God's word is that the penalty for sin is death. So, but any kind of sin, a microscopic sin, if you have committed any sin in your life, no matter how, you see, we're all very self-righteous, so we all think that our particular sins or whatever are holier than other people's. Well, that's not true. The word sin comes from the word metanoia, to miss the mark, like a target, like an arrow being shot at a bullseye, or a dart being shot at the bullseye, or whatever. So like when you hit the very center of the target properly, that's considered perfect, a perfect score. Metanoia means missing the mark. The deviation could be microscopic, but you're slightly off from a perfect shot or dart or arrow or whatever. So the word sin comes from the word metanoia, missing the mark. And that's why when God's word said, for all men have sinned, all men and women have sinned. We all stop short because we're fallen creatures of the glory of God. Why are we all sinners? Because DNA, genetically, RNA, when God created mankind, men and women, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they were perfect in every way. When they disobeyed God and rejected his word by listening to Lucifer, the serpent, they fell. They were severed from the life force of God, and they began to die and get sick, etc., etc. Now, here is the critical thing. According to the law of God, and that's all that matters, it doesn't matter what some humanistic law is or some courtroom somewhere, you know, on planet Earth. The ultimate law of the universe, of reality and life, is the law of God. So, in God's universe, in God's creation, God, among many other attributes, God is creative, he's the creator, he's righteous, he's holy, he's just, he's pure, and we could go on and on. Again, God is love being a predominant feature of the Supreme Being. Now, when God first created man, Adam and Eve, they were filled with those characteristics of God. I'm not saying they were God. They were not God. But they had those characteristics. Now, in order to enter heaven, according to the law of God, you must keep all of the commandments and requirements. Not just the commandments, but also the requirements. So in the Ten Commandments, it says, we are to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. That's not a simple commandment. That's like, whoa, or love your neighbor as yourself. So if we deviate from hitting the precise center of the target at all, that's called metanoia, and therefore that is sin. So every human being born, we're all the genetic descendants of Adam and Eve. We're all born with a fallen nature. The only way in the legal courtroom of God, according to God's law, the only way an individual can gain entrance into heaven, because you have to be totally sinless in order to get into heaven. So the only way your name can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and your name is guaranteed, your name being written in the Book of Life guarantees you entrance into heaven. Any sin, no matter how microscopic, during your lifetime could keep you out of heaven. Because even the most microscopic sin is reflective or indicative of a deeper problem, which is what we call the law of sin and death. And according to the law of sin and death, anything that's sinful must be judged and dies. Okay, it's a very serious thing. So the only way any man or woman can get into heaven is by faith, by putting your faith or belief in the forgiveness of God through Christ Jesus, that Jesus Christ, that God will forgive every one of our sins if we repent, ask him to forgive us through the blood of Jesus, which we appropriate or gain access to by our faith, and then we receive the forgiveness of our sins from Jesus Christ by faith. We invite Christ to come into our lives and are born again by faith. Okay, when we're born again, when we ask God to forgive us of all our sins, then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us of all sin, and we're made holy and righteous. When we're born again, when we ask Christ for forgiveness of our sins, that in and of itself 100% guarantees that we're gaining entrance into heaven, or we will have eternal life. There's no question about it. Our name is written in the Book of Life. And the legal reason in the courts of heaven that we are gaining entrance into heaven forever and ever in a brand new glorified body is because we have been made righteous through the law of faith, not self-performance or works. Okay, so this is a critical issue. Now, when God's people walk with God, and God has reached out to people throughout the Bible, in the Old Testament, it's the account of the children of Israel, God reaching out to them and using them and continuing to use them today. In the New Testament, it centers more around Jesus Christ and the disciples of Jesus Christ. So in both, it's the same God we're worshiping. The Christian is worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel. A true Jew, in the biblical sense of the word, assuming you believe in the New Testament, believes in the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Now, here's the critical issue here. Going back from the very beginning to the United States of America, the men and women who founded America as a colony, who escaped religious persecution in England and other nations, they were called the Pilgrims and Puritans. They came here in the early 1600s to America. And they were deep students of the Bible. They were very intelligent, hardworking, prosperous people. They read, they had knowledge, and they knew their Bibles backwards and forwards. In fact, as young kids, they would know Greek, Hebrew, Latin, etc. So they could read and study the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, in multiple languages. And they had a deep, deep love for the Old Testament. And as such, they entered into a covenant with God based on the covenant that God made with the children of Israel when God made a covenant with Abraham to give the Jews the physical land forever as an everlasting covenant. And when you read Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and the curses, you read a codification of that covenant. So on behalf of you and I and all believers who are living in America now, our spiritual ancestors, the Pilgrims and Puritans, entered into a covenant with God where they said they worship the Lord. And in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 and 2, it basically says that the blessing of God will be poured out upon his people if his people will not worship foreign gods and if his people will not worship idols, but they'll only worship the true God, the God of the Bible. Then all these blessings in Deuteronomy 28 will be poured out upon them. Then it says that if God's people hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Hearken diligently means to read and study and hear the word of God and then to obey it quickly. But you can't obey it diligently if you don't know what it is diligently. So there's many passages that deal with God's covenant or covenants with man. And a key thing here is that our nation was built upon this covenant with God made by the Pilgrims and Puritans. And in Deuteronomy 28, as we've talked about so many times on the Paul McGuire Report, you see blessings being promised to be poured out by God to his people that are mind-blowing blessings. And they're not just spiritual and religious blessings. God promises to pour out supernaturally all these materialistic farming, agriculture, economic prosperity, health, victory over enemies, a booming economy. I mean, really, not just, you know, all religious stuff. God promises to supernaturally bless every facet of the lives of his people. It's like, you've got to read Deuteronomy 28. You've never read it. Just read it. All the blessings and all the curses. It'll blow your mind if you look at the blessings. So in Deuteronomy 28, starting at verse 1, now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, his word, of course, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today. And that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. So then there's blessings in the city, blessings in the country, blessings in your physical body, blessings militarily, blessings economically, I mean, just on and on and on. And then in verse 15, it says, but it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to do carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. In a long list of curses. Okay, so America prospered. You know, what you're looking at on the television and the media, what you're looking at in all the mainstream media is a propaganda message bombarding you with lies and propaganda and brainwashing, telling you over and over again how evil, how racist America is and was. And that's not true. That's not like saying, oh, there was no racism in America. That's not like saying there's no racism in America today. I'm not saying that. But to hold up America as some grotesque, monstrous evil among the nations is just flat out lying. America, however faulty, and America is plenty faulty, has done enormously positive things, unlike any other nation in the history of mankind, by the way, and that's a historical fact. So the critical thing here is that the Pilgrims and Puritans, and this is what I would give in all these messages and talks, and I think the Spirit of God instilled this into me, this biblical principle, this deep truth into me, early on in my walk with the Lord. Basic principle is when the pilgrim, and I would talk about what I'm talking about now all the time for decades. So the basic principle was that America prospered above all the nations of the earth because the blessing of God via the pilgrims and Puritans and their covenant was upon America. America has been blessed because of the covenant of the pilgrims and Puritans, and however poorly we attempted to obey the covenant, we must have done it to some degree or God would not have blessed us so powerfully. Okay, so now here we are now. The basic lesson of the pilgrims and Puritans, and remember, they are the Christians, they're the Bible-believing Christians, was that God is your source, capital S for source. God is God. God is your source. That's why you don't worship false gods. So everything that you could need, every challenge you face, any problem you have, your ultimate source is God. It's not your job. It's not government. It's not this invention. It's not this science or whatever. God can use and does use all of those things. But any individual or any nation who forgets that their bottom line, ultimate source is God, is in deep, deep trouble. The bottom line reason America is in crisis right now, a crisis that's so serious we could potentially lose our nation. You realize that, of course. This isn't a game. What's happening right now is unprecedented. We may not make it through the election. There are a lot of people who would like us not to see that election ever really finalize, if the majority of the Christian church is sound asleep, while auditioning for some Somonex commercial from the 1960s or something. Here's the thing. When the Pilgrims and Puritans had any problem, whether their agriculture or crops were diseased and or the weather killed their crops or there wasn't enough rain or whatever, or they had sickness and disease spreading among them, or enemies attacked them, or, you know, bad weather, disease, whatever it was. Whatever the adversity was, the Pilgrims and the Puritans, before they did anything else, before they built something, before they armed themselves, before they made a decision, before the Pilgrims and Puritans did anything else, they got down on their hands and knees. They cried out to God for forgiveness because they had the fundamental belief that God would supernaturally protect them in many areas of their life, Deuteronomy 28. And the only reason that there would be, let's say, a disease outbreak among the people or a disease outbreak among the crops or whatever, the only reason that would occur, according to the Pilgrims and Puritans, this is where their minds went instantly. Today's Christian, their minds don't even go there because they're so biblically illiterate. They're on a Bible starvation diet. So today's Christian, their minds don't automatically go in a biblical direction. They could go anywhere. But in the Pilgrims and Puritans, they studied the Bible constantly. So their minds automatically went to what the Bible said. And the Bible teaches us very clearly that God is God. He's the supreme source, capital S. God is our source. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's the author of weather and food and everything, okay? And if God's people, according to the covenant with the children of Israel, whenever God's people were worshiping God, they were promised super and obeying his commandments, they were promised supernatural protection in the earthly realm from calamities, violence, economic things, diseases, practical, real-world stuff. So before the Pilgrims and Puritans did anything, they got down on their hands and knees, they cried out to God, they repented of their sins, because their fundamental belief was they would not be experiencing a curse or a bunch of curses if they had not violated the covenant with God. So what they were doing immediately was searching the hearts of the people, searching their ways, coming before the Lord in humility, and making sure that individually or collectively, they were not doing something that displeased God, because they knew that there was no such thing as accidents in the world, that there was a spiritual root to everything. So they repented. And why did they repent? Because they understood that the source, capital S, of all blessing was God. And if you offended this holy God by sin, etc., God might chastise or punish or judge or whatever by allowing disease on crops or disease by the people. So the first place they went to in their minds is they didn't run and let's invent a new concoction of medicinal oil or whatever. The first place they went to was they went to God. God was their source. Now, as simple as that is of a biblical concept, as simple and simplistic as that is not what has been happening in the Christian evangelical church for the last 50 years. I'm not making a blanket statement. I'm simply saying that exists a significant remnant church of faithful believers. There exists millions of faithful believers in America and elsewhere in the world who do want to walk with God, who do want to please God. But we both know the overwhelming majority of evangelical Christians, especially in America, because they have been on a starvation diet in terms of Bible teaching, they don't understand the lordship of Christ. They don't understand that God is their ultimate source. So they don't do what the Pilgrims and Puritans do, which is cry out to God before they do anything else. What evangelical Christians do and what they're being taught in America is essentially a new kind of Christianity, which is a kind of humanistic Christianity, with, you know, the outward appearance of being biblical. Yes, God uses medicine. Yes, you should see a doctor. Yes, you should get, you know, depending upon the situation, a medical examination, depending upon the situation. Yes, you should always integrate knowledge and wisdom, et cetera, et cetera. But the point is, you understand. See, America collectively has forgotten both the super rich. You see, you have to ask yourself the question. The 1% owns 99% of all the wealth and money and power in the world. And that just happened in the last 20 years. I talk all about how it happened in my books, A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 1, A Prophecy of the Future of America, Volume 2, 2016-2017. And I explain it all in The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind and Mass Awakening and the mind control aspect of it all in Conquering the Matrix. And you can get a bundle discount on all of those books at paulmcguire.us. You need to read them. The day is going to come faster than, depends what happens in our country, but the day is going to come faster than you think, where the books that I just suggested to you will no longer be legal. The Bible will no longer be legal. You say, well, that's impossible. Really? The Bible's already considered hate speech. It's just a matter of somebody signing a law in. It's just that simple. Okay, so the basic foundation here that we want to understand The secret to life, if you want to put it that way, is understanding that we, our intelligence, our wisdom, our money, our human resources, that's not what keeps us alive, etc. It's God that is our Heavenly Father. That's why he's called our Heavenly Father. It's God, Almighty, the Supreme Being. And the Pilgrims and Puritans understood, and they incorporated it in their political beliefs as well, that when rough stuff comes, they prayed, they fasted, they cried out to God, they repented of their sins, they prayed and fasted. The Pilgrims and Puritans were so bold as they would continue these prayer and fasting meetings. And they would keep going before the God until the curse or the calamity or whatever they were dealing with lifted from their villages and towns and churches and stuff. Talk about faith. They just didn't have a bunch of prayer meetings repenting to God. That would have been impressive enough compared to the church today. But they stayed in a posture of praying and repenting before God until they saw God supernaturally lift or alter or change the problem. Now imagine what would happen if the body of Christ did that here in America. Imagine what would happen if the body of Christ in America really understood, had a revelation from God about just how much authority and power God has given us if we worship him as God, as we perceive him as our source, capital S, and we come to him. Imagine the amount of spiritual power that could be released, the amount of deliverance that could happen in America right now, at this second, in the time of America's greatest need, and consequently, a great need in many other nations also, and many other people groups across planet Earth. In this time of greatest need and this time of America's greatest need, we have never been in a position, for crying out loud, I mean, you know, I could really allow myself to get highly emotional, and I am emotional, but I don't want to get emotional just to be emotional. But for crying out loud, we have never been in a place before in America where we are literally on the precipice of potentially losing everything. Our freedoms, our rights, our blessings. It doesn't matter how, because ignorant people rip up our nation. They don't know what they're talking about. They're complete imbeciles. We have so many unique freedoms in this nation, so many opportunities. People are not using their brains very well in conceiving what America would look like or what America would become if we did not have protection of these freedoms and rights, etc. It would become a dictatorship overnight. A dictatorship overnight. And let's not forget how brutal a dictatorship is. So given the gravity of the situation, given the severity of the situation, it should be all hands on deck. We are in a state of emergency. We may not even make it to the election. And people are walking around in a daze. Christians, though, that's what grieves me. They're walking around in a daze. It is possible we won't make it through the election. When I say make it through the election, I mean, will America still be America with freedoms, protection, safety, opportunities, and economy, et cetera, between now and the election? I'm not trying to be sensationalistic at all. But the reality is that these groups, et cetera, were using Marxist revolutionary tactics to destabilize and overthrow America as we know it. This is a real danger. And the potential of rigging the election is so vulnerable. And then you have, is the vote going to be counted? So there could be riots in the streets. I mean, I'm not trying to stir up fear in your imagination. I'm simply trying to say that this is probably the most heated election in American history. Anything could potentially happen between now and the election and even after. And I want to talk about that and how you should perceive that and how you should process that in your mind. You should not process that by going into some fear coma. You should not process potential of that by freaking out and allowing yourself to be captured by a spirit of fear. No, I didn't tell you that. I didn't share that information with you to spread fear or panic or anything like that, because those are counterproductive emotions. They're not going to help us. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. Visit paulmcguire.us. Spread, we're in a war of ideas and truth versus deception. We have got to spread the truth far and wide. Help us by sending the links of our programs, audio programs, video programs, books, other information we have. Spread it far and wide on the internet, because there are computerized AI bots and programs that are designed to make all Christian conservative opinions to censor them completely out of the internet. They do it every day. And it's worse than that. They're waging war with things like vitamins and nutrition, alternative medicine, and as if, why? Because they're owned by Big Pharma. See, this is a war of truth. It goes far beyond just spiritual and biblical. It gets into the area of your personal health and many other things. This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. This is Paul McGuire. Even before the coronavirus began to take off, when the initial reports came in, I was doing a lot of research on it because I had just finished writing my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, where I talked a lot about autoimmune diseases, biological warfare, 5G. But so then the coronavirus came out, and there's a connection between the two, by the way. So I began to do a lot of research, et cetera, but also began to pray immediately for our nation, for people, etc., for ourselves. And the critical thing here is that you want practical, legitimate scientific medical knowledge to fight things, etc. And then you need to engage in what the Bible teaches would constitute legitimate spiritual warfare, okay, for yourself, for your family, your loved ones, for your nation, for other nations. And so right now, we're in the most dangerous time we've ever been in, period. Anything could happen, but anything doesn't have to happen. If a certain percentage, and I can't tell you what the precise percentage is, because that's up to God. God's the judge. But there's a biblical principle, and that is whenever God's people repent of their sins, come to the Lord, pray, ask God to supernaturally intervene, whenever God's people do that, God always answers. Now, I can't tell you what the answer is every time, because different times in history, God answered according to what was happening in that situation. But right now, there's an all-out war for the heart and soul of our nation. Because deeper than that, what this is really, really about, destroying Christianity, destroying the Bible, destroying a biblical worldview. That's what all this is about. And why is America hated so much? Because America represents Judeo-Christian values. So this communist, socialist, Marxist world order, which the super capitalists, by the way, yes, I deliberately said super capitalists because it's the super capitalists that have always funded the communist, Marxist, socialist revolutions. They've always wanted America to be destroyed as we know it. The globalist occult elite, the communists and the socialists and the Marxist demonstrators, they're their pawns. And I'm not trying to be uncruel and unkind. This is not my words. You can read the quotes and the sources. But one of the founders of communism and one of the heads of the communist revolution in Russia literally called publicly all the Americans that were helping in the communist revolution, he called them useful idiots. From his perspective, they were just useful idiots. And after they finished their being useful idiots, then they were going to get done away with. What's financing the spider's web of financing for this so-called revolution and all the rest of this stuff, it's all Marxist, it's all billionaire financed, and it's all for the benefit of the globalist elite. It has nothing to do with benefit of the common man. And so that's what this is all about. But you have to understand that when you read the game plans of the globalist elite, not only are they an occult globalist elite, but through their globalist and occult secret societies, these people have managed to control the world secretly, run the world secretly, going back to when Adam and Eve caused the fall of man. The first civilizations, Lucifer becomes the temporary god of this world. And you have all these civilizations that arise that are pagan, that are godless, and that they worship Lucifer in various forms. Luciferian empires. I explain this all this in simple, fast-moving language in my books. And the books are available at bundles at paulmcguire.us. Bundle discounts, so you can get them singly. But you need to read them and get it from crying out loud. Knowledge is power. You don't have knowledge, I can tell you this, you don't have much power. And you need to deprogram yourself and get over the bias you have, the prejudice you have, the negative attitude you have about reading. Many of you have a negative attitude about reading because you were raised that way. You were just programmed. You know why? Because they want to keep people stupid. I mean, no offense, okay? That's what this is all about. But God has given you the mind of Christ. You're not stupid. You have the Spirit of God in you. Okay, now, so the key thing is that we are in this struggle right now, an all-out struggle. It's a scramble for who's going to control our nation. The globalist elite want to destroy America, very simply, as I said before, because America is biblical. Let's just put it that way. The globalist, also, with the globalist elite, it's always about money and power. The reason the globalist elite or the international bankers finance communist, Marxist, socialist revolutions is because that way they get to employ the people as slave labor and don't have to pay them anything. They get to own and control all the assets of that nation. And a communist revolution is a cheap way for the globalist elite to totally control the world or a nation. So this entire UN Agenda 2030 thing, it's just all a Trojan horse. This is all about total control of power, total control of people's minds. A very relatively small numerical number of people, the globalist elite, control this 1% that we're talking about. 1% of planet Earth's population owns and controls 99% of the wealth. Think about that. But that's not the whole picture. The whole picture is they control the wealth, but they also control your media, your video, your audio, your education, your religion. See, they are now into micromanaging the human race. They don't want you to do anything except what has been programmed for you to do. This is what Aldous Huxley was planning in his book, Brave New World, the novel. And then, of course, in his speeches, and I explain how this all took off in Conquering the Matrix. This is what is called the scientific dictatorship, where people are placed through psychological chains into a dictatorship of the mind, a psychological dictatorship, where they're under the influence of trance states, hypnotic programming, mind control, and they can be programmed to actually love their slavery. That's like America and most of the European Union, other nations, Australia, New Zealand, etc. Okay, so now you have, remember, being based on occult secret societies that go back to ancient Babylon, ancient Egypt, Greece, Rome, Persian Empire, all these occultic empires, and then the kings and queens of Europe, thoroughly occultic empires. Just look at the symbols and the logos and the flags and everything else that the European royalty chooses to use up to this very day. You go to the Rothschild Castle and Rothschild owned buildings and areas in London. When I say London, not the London that the tourists go to. Inside London is another city called the City of London, where all the super elite have their offices and stuff. It's called the City of London. And the Rothschilds are there. And you can see the pictures of their red dragon ornaments on all the gates and pedestals. Well, the dragon for, you know, thousands of years has been a symbol of Satan and Lucifer. So there's a reason for the occult symbolism and pictures, the occult beliefs that these people who run the world have. They are part of the Illuminati or Rosicrucians or whatever the latest movement is, skull and bones, etc. And they have their public agenda and they have their secret agenda, which is dark. That's why it's a secret. So that's what this is all about. This is not all about what Fox News says it's all about. That's half the truth, which is better than no truth. This is all about order out of chaos or manufactured crisis, the occult principle that the Satanist Karl Marx, the author of the Communist Manifesto, when he wrote the Communist Manifesto with Engels. And the amazing thing about Engels is Karl Marx was a Satanist. Karl Marx's sister was the head of a satanic church. I believe Engels was a Satanist too when he was writing the Communist Manifesto with Karl Marx. But then I believe Engels got saved. I mean, radically born again. And I say radically born again because I've read stuff that Engels wrote after he repented of his sins to Jesus Christ. Engels actually specifically repented for what he had to do with creating communism, and repented of the evil philosophies he pushed on men. And when you read Engels, man, this guy is seriously repenting for his sins in the birth of an establishment of communism. And he's talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ and Bible prophecy, and he believes in it. You never hear that talked about in any college or anything. But the Communist Manifesto was authored by two people, as you know. Karl Marx, Friedrich Engels, who were both Satanists or atheists. But then Engels has this miraculous testimony at the end of his life where he becomes a born-again Christian, a believer in Bible prophecy. I've read the words. You never hear that taught. But it should be taught because that's the whole truth. Okay, so the key here is God created you in his own image. God created you as an individual, unique human being. So right now we're in the middle of a crisis. Is that surprise us? Manufactured crisis, order out of chaos. So we're in the middle of a crisis. And you have been given your own mind and soul and body, etc. And you seek to get information, knowledge, etc., that's accurate and useful to you. So you find places where you can find accurate information. But if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, what you should also be doing every day is seeking the face of the Lord and simply talking to God with an urgency, asking God for wisdom, asking God to supernaturally intervene, not just for yourself and your family and your loved ones and people that God puts in your heart to pray for, but for our nation and other nations in the world. You're praying, because a Christian's job the job description was never to be passive and do nothing until Christ came back. Occupy the land until he comes back. Okay, so we're moving into, do you think God wants to slam dunk America right now with a dictatorship where we lose all our freedoms, et cetera, and the economy just completely collapses? Do you think that's what God wants? I can imagine some people saying, yeah, they think that's what God wants because of our wickedness and evil. Well, I would respond to you by saying, yeah, America is wicked and evil. We don't deserve God's blessing. We deserve God's curse. But the whole message of the gospel, Old Testament, New Testament, is that when a people or if a person repents and asks God to forgive them, then God can remove the curse or the full impact of a curse and pour out blessing. Now, I'm not God, you're not God, I'm not the final judge, you're not the final judge, but I believe, based on everything I've read in the Word of God, that God is waiting for a sufficient number of his people. I don't know what that numerical number is, but I believe that God is waiting for a sufficient number of his people to stop business as usual and to begin seeking the Lord and crying out to God and seeking the face of God and inquiring of God, not only for themselves, their families, their loved ones, but for this nation, other nations, for America, the church, etc., etc. And also pray for before the election, and after the election. You know, there's a huge number of people who call themselves witches. I write about it. I have a couple of chapters on it in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. There's a significantly large number of witches who through using the internet, through meeting in virtual reality on the internet, kind of like what people are doing now with Zoom and Skype and stuff. By the way, before I forget, we're sending up entire messages I've given at Paradise Mountain Church, Bible prophecy messages and other messages. And so, you know, those are free. All you have to do is go to paulmcguire.us, and they're on our Roku channel, Paul McGuire Ministries. And we have tons of hours of teaching and stuff like that there for you. So it's all free. But let people know about it. I just wanted to add that. So there is a significant number of people who are call themselves witches and into witchcraft, and they have pledged to use a spell, which they call, I think, a binding spell. I have it written down in my book, the exact name of all things like that. So in this spell, they literally curse President Trump and his administration and all the people that voted. I mean, they're very serious about this. And they ask that they call upon the powers of darkness to do that. Now, what's interesting is that the binding and loosing spell thing that the witches do is really a copy of what Jesus Christ gave his disciples when, we're given the power, whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So we have the power of binding and loosing. And more than that, that power is backed up to the fact that the issuer of the power is Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, versus the dark side's issuer, who would be Lucifer. Okay, so these people in the occult and witchcraft are invoking and calling upon supernatural powers to destroy a particular president, administration, his followers, Christianity, etc., etc. So you have pagan people involved in witchcraft, engaging in open spiritual warfare against God, God's people, the angels, and the kingdom of God. So these witches, I forgot what the number is. I have it in the book. I can't remember off my top of my head the number. Something like 30,000 or 60,000 witches are committed to this project. Well, if Christians were as diligent as many of these witches are, and many Christians are diligent, just that number has to increase. God's people should be engaged in intercessory prayer warfare. For the election, for the president, whoever the president is, and for our nation, etc., etc. That's what changes the outcome. See, what changes the outcome, what changes what's going to happen in the near future and afterwards, what changes that is your willingness and my willingness to obey the word of God, and to obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and to accept. See, if you don't accept it, you're essentially rebelling. God's trying to give you an assignment. He's God Almighty. But we American Christians, we're a strange breed. We think that we can just... God's trying to give us an assignment, and we think, as American Christians, we can just glibly hand that assignment back to him. And it's like, everything's okay. No, everything's not okay. God gives us an assignment. It's our responsibility to accept that assignment and to be faithful in that assignment. So we begin to pray and engage in intercessory prayer warfare. This is so critical. It's amazing how many so-called Christian churches, evangelical churches, have little or no knowledge of what the Bible says about spiritual warfare. And in warfare, you know, there's those that are conquered and those that conquer. So it's critical here to understand that in the vortex of all this stuff that's happening, it is absolutely essential that we engage in the spiritual warfare using the law-abiding, peaceful, spiritual weapons that the Bible talks about. We're going to get back into what those spiritual weapons are in just a moment. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Help us spread these messages far and wide. And in just a second, we're going to talk about using spiritual warfare in the different areas of your life. This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. So in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, the Apostle Paul teaches us about spiritual warfare. And I want to read part of what he says. So in Ephesians, chapter 6, starting in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So, the first thing, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That means not having a strength that we generate from something inside of us. It's we have a strength that's coming from the Spirit of God. We have a strength that's coming from the supernatural power of God, and we're walking in it. Verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes or the strategies or the deceits of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." So we're not like fighting and struggling with people. There may be people involved, but that's not what's really happening all the way down the tunnel. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So, The incredible thing here is that the real battle that we're facing right now at this second and in the future, near future, is we are not wrestling or fighting against people, although people are involved. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood or people. But our battle is with principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age, the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So the point of that is this is a hierarchy. It's an organizational structure of different ranking demons and fallen angels. So in the spiritual battle that we're in right now in America and the rest of the world, one of the primary truths that the Lord wants to communicate is that the real nature of our battle is spiritual. And in addition to doing the other things, it doesn't say don't do the other things. But in addition to doing the other things, you need to wage warfare spiritually. Because, and that means you pray against, you bind, you can block or stop, or you loose, which means you permit or you release. And these promises are given by God to every one of his children to use. And to the degree God's children use these spiritual weapons and engage in the spiritual battle, that's going to determine whether America survives as a free nation. That's going to determine what our future is going to be like. And this is not, let's not deceive ourselves. This is not a time to be asleep or deluded. This is the most critical time, in my opinion. So we need to mentally prepare ourselves, spiritually prepare ourselves, and purpose in our hearts that we're going to be faithful to accomplishing the mission and call that God has given to us, which is winning the battle for the hearts and minds of men and women, mankind, winning it, presenting them with the truth, battling against false ideas, setting them free mentally, and filling them with the power of the truth, and then winning their souls to Jesus Christ so that they can see the truth of God's word regarding salvation in Christ by faith. There's never been a more important time to do this than now, because huge numbers of people, not only in the U.S., but across the world, are looking for answers. They're forced to think deeper. They're looking for answers. And many of them have never had exposure to a kind of relevant, but at the same time, biblical Christianity. So we have doors open to us, fields are white for harvest, and Jesus Christ wants us to go out and win the spiritual soul harvest in the last days by winning souls. So this, for us, is the perfect time to move forward, and with your continued commitment to pray for us as intercessory prayer warriors, your commitment to spreading the messages far and wide, and your commitment to seek the Lord and ask the Lord how you can bless this ministry with your donations or contributions. Together we can move forward and make a difference, but the timing here is so absolutely critical. Sense of urgency, because we only do have a very short period of time. And if each one of us does what we're supposed to do, that multiplies, and you can actually change things in a way that is far more powerful than many people realize. That God put us here for a reason. He gave us this nation for a reason, but we have to do our part. You know, if there's a spiritual battle, we have to be there if we're true believers in Jesus Christ. Same principle, the same truth is what happens in your life, because I'm talking about like national spiritual battles, etc., but you have spiritual battles in your life, and you have to use the weapons of your warfare that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds to win those battles. And that's what it's about now. Waging warfare, beginning the prayers, asking God to break through, pressing into the throne room of God. The basic principle, biblical principle, always being, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So as we look at things, map them out, plan them. We always recognize that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So we choose to operate in power, love, and a sound mind. And that's the basis of our perception and the reason why and how we see life. That's how we make our decisions. So that includes what's happening on a national level, what's happening globally, what's happening in terms of Bible prophecy being fulfilled. All of these things become part of the whole, which is our lives and why God called us here. And God knew from the beginning, He chose you and me to be here for this time, for such a time as this. So he's already given us everything that we need to do what he expects us to do. And sometimes we don't feel like that could be the case, but it is the case. It's simply a matter of stepping out and exercising what God has called you to do. So that means as we're dealing with all this, the posture that we should take is not one of resignation, not one of passivity, but one of actively seeking the Lord, actively inquiring of the Lord, and then thinking, not anxiety thinking, but thinking and allowing the Lord to speak to us, to guide us, and to lead us, and to be open to plans that God may be giving us. Plans that God's trying to open up and develop in us. Because we're endeavoring to walk in the way of the Lord. And so when the Word of God says, commit thy way unto the Lord, or in your ways, all your ways will be established, we have to actively commit with our wills, our plans, purposes, pursuits, or whatever. And we commit it to the Lord in the sense that we ask Him to be Lord of it. And then we trust Him to lead and guide us and provide for us and position us. So the key thing here is that we face what's happening not with denial, and we definitely don't face what's happening with fear, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And God has given us enormous supernatural power. He's given us the keys of the kingdom, and we can use them in this present environment, transform things, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of others, on a far higher level than we think. On a far higher level than we think. And we got to be careful that we don't shut down and artificially reduce the level of our expectation. And call that reduction, you know, oh, gee, I'm just being a realist. Well, being foolish is not particularly great, but unbalanced realism is a distortion. You want, and what I want is to hit the target with our perceptions so that we can make the decisions we need, the plans we need to make, to be overcomers. That's what God wants. God has an agenda. God has a purpose. That's why He has you and I here. That's why the church is still here on planet Earth. God has a purpose for the church. Now, there will be a time when the Lord is going to come and there'll be a transition, but the Lord has a purpose for His church. That's every person who's a supernatural member of the body of Christ on earth. We are the supernatural body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. All those people who are born again have the Spirit of God living inside them. And this is incredible, because now this truth gives us a glimpse of the glory and splendor of eternity. Of eternity with God and victory with God for forever and ever and ever. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. One of the key things here is to keep our focus on the main thing that God wants us to perceive, and that is that there's a relationship between Him, Jesus Christ, and us, the body of Christ, and that we have a major responsibility in partnering with God in the unfolding of the last days. We're not, absent from the arena. We are involved in the last days. So when God does something, He does it with His people, or He directs His people or guides His people. So the critical thing is that one of the greatest things that we have to guard ourselves against is becoming AWOL, absent without leave, disappearing from the spiritual battlefield by pretending the spiritual battlefield doesn't exist. And then by simply changing our posture, our inner attitude or whatever, our spirit, we come back into a revived relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, where He fills us with a passion to accomplish what He wants done through our lives on the earth. And that isn't some, grandiose question. That should be a real question, because we have a purpose and destiny, and we are what God is going to do, He's going to do through His people. So one of the most urgent things is communicating to people in an understandable way what's happening now, where we're going, what we can do about it, where is God in all of this, but kind of like getting people up to speed really, really fast, or at least as fast as we can, so people can deal with what they're going to have to deal with. For example, the privilege of an election is only as good as is the election valid, are the results valid, et cetera, et cetera. And we've come to a time in our nation where it's like it's a dog eats dog, but it's worse than that. There's a struggle for our nation. Who's going to control it and the power, etc. So you and I are called to be the sons and daughters of the light, Jesus Christ. And so we're to pray, we're to occupy until Christ comes. We're to be salt and light. And we're to let that light shine. As God directs you and leads you, you let that light shine. And this is how we influence. We influence spiritually, we influence psychologically, through communication, things like that. But we are never to be like absent without leave. We are the people that are supposed to show up if we're really His people. And I believe, by the way, God's people, God's real people, do show up. What you're seeing is the counterfeit that doesn't show up. So the fastest thing we can do is to spread the word about what's happening and what God wants us to do about it, and then get in action, spiritual action, because God answers every prayer, and just the discipline of actually praying, the obedience of actually praying, releases God to answer prayer. And there's other things that we can do too that are in sync, so to speak, with what the Word of God says. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us and help us spread this message far and wide.